friends. We welcome you to the study of God's precious Word on the hope of the church. Our continued meditation on this blessed hope follows. We've had the joy of considering the first event connected with it, the rapture and the first resurrection of the saints, which has been recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and also we noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Blessed as that event will be, we must also learn of another future fact, which will certainly follow the rapture of the church, and it is that event called the judgment seat of Christ. Comparing these two events, the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ, the rapture is certainly, in the truth of it, very refreshing, as well as the source of encouragement for the heart. It cheers the believer. But the judgment seat of Christ is a study that is not for the heart as much as it is for the conscience, to spur the conscience. And may it do so as we follow the study of this theme in Scripture. First, let me quote a basic Scripture for our subject. One Scripture only, we shall touch upon others, but the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tell us, written to believers in the church at Corinth, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Permit me to state, this judgment is to be distinguished from the judgment of the living nations, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 25, which will take place at the beginning of the millennium kingdom. This judgment of the seed of Christ is also to be distinguished from that great judgment of the dead before the great white throne that is revealed in Revelation chapter 20. That takes place after the millennial kingdom. So the judgment seat of Christ, the raptured saints, will take place before the millennial kingdom on the earth. Now let us consider seven facts concerning it, which the Holy Scriptures reveal to us. First, we would consider the time of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and also in part of chapter 4, there is much revealed concerning this judgment, but especially is there a direct reference to the time. The beloved apostle is carefully warned that we should never judge one another as to the merit of our service. And he declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we quote his words, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come. And when he comes, he will be the revealer of our Christian service." Paul refers to this same event in other places as calling it that day. In 2 Timothy 1:12, in 2 Timothy 4:8, he refers to the fact that he looks forward to the coming of the Lord to review his life. It is also referred to six times in the epistles as the day of Christ, the time of the coming of the Lord for his church. That will be the time when the saints of this age will stand before the Lord to be appraised and judged. But now we would consider second, the judge. Who is he? We should know that. Paul speaks of him in his farewell message to Timothy, second epistle to Timothy, as being the righteous judge in 2 Timothy 4:8. The one through whom Paul knew he would receive and from whom a true righteous appraisal of his life. And the psalmist long ago wrote, "The Lord will judge his people." We may also know from the Savior's own words in John chapter 5 and verse 22, he will be the judge himself, not only of his people but for the whole world. Did he not say, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son"? John 5:22. So the time for it, when the Lord comes, the judge will be the Lord himself. Now consider a third fact. The persons of this special judgment. Now let us remember the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here is a direct reference not only to living believers at Corinth to whom the apostle wrote, but even to those who were asleep in the Lord, who were absent from the body and at home with the Lord, as you may read in that second epistle in chapter 5 also. For the dead in Christ and the living who participate in the glorious event of the rapture, they all shall be brought before him. Now let me emphasize one fact, the individual character of the judgment. The text in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 implies each one, every individual believer will meet the Lord. And we have the same fact declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 13 through 15. But we must understand very carefully, this judgment for the believer has nothing to do with our salvation from our sins and our eternal penalty. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, Hebrews 10 and verse 17, and in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, the Word of God declares that the believer is delivered already from their condemnation and judgment of their sins. We have settled that upon the earth. And we can rest upon what the Scripture says. Then he quotes Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation or judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. The reference is to the future judgment in eternity concerning the believer's sins. The question is asked, then why is this judgment for every believer? Ah, my beloved, it is a question of our faithfulness. According to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 through 5, it is to determine our reward in that coming day, or whether we shall have loss. And this demands a special judgment for the believers, and it is not a question again of our salvation, but definitely in reference to the reward we may obtain, the reward of His grace, which we can have through faithfulness to Him. But then we would like to consider a fourth fact regarding this judgment, very seldom mentioned, the severity of it. The beloved Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30 quotes the psalmist, saying, the Lord will judge His people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, at the judgment seat of Christ, we are told, whatever is revealed is to be revealed by fire. Note the expression, revealed by fire. The fire, says the apostle, shall try, test every man's, each man's work of what sort of quality it is. 1 Corinthians 3:13. And we shall know from the context declaring, it will reveal whether there will be reward or whether there will be loss or damage in relation to our testimony for the Lord, which we have produced in life. Please do not forget the premise of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We shall not only have revealed our good deeds, but our bad deeds, which we have done or produced during our Christian life, from the day of our salvation. There is a very strong reference in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24 and 25. If you will read those two verses, but may I point out the special words within that section. Paul writes to say that he that hath done wrong shall receive again the wrong that he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. This does not only apply in principle during life, my friend, that we may receive back for wrongs we do, as well as good deeds we may do, but it is a principle that is connected with what we receive in the coming day of recompense. To be exposed at the judgment seat of Christ is a serious matter. More serious than perhaps we realize. It refers to gain, but it also refers to loss. And do not fail to give justice and consideration properly to the subject. Permit me to read the words of the Apostle John, 1 John 2, verse 28. Little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The words of another, and I read the translation which I value very greatly of another, that in relation to that time to which John refers, we may not be put to shame before the Lord Jesus at his coming. The possibility to shrink with shame from him at his presence in that day. And oh, my fellow believer, may I also remind you that in 1 Corinthians 3:15 it is possible for a believer to be saved and only saved as a brand plucked out of the fire, as a person may escape from a burning building with his bare life. Listen to the words. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, but yet so is by fire. These are the possibilities that we should look in the face to spur our conscience at the present time, to search the life, the heart. For the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the hearts, of the thoughts, and as well as of the heart. My fellow believer, let us realize the seriousness when we stand before the Lord. Don't wait. Consider every good deed and every bad deed that you and I have done in life. For that testimony we have borne since our day of salvation, we'll be judged. And oh, my unsaved friend, may I plead with you? The judgment seat of Christ, though it may be a serious matter for saved people, were you to die in your sins, you would face a more definite, dangerous judgment. To be not saved will bring you eternal doom, the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. My friend, if you're not saved, repent and believe the gospel. Confess to the Savior your sins. Confess that he died for you and he alone can save you and enable you to live for his glory till he comes. Father, bless and sanctify the truth of thy word to save and sinner for thy glory. Amen.